Thank you, worship team. What a blessing to be able to sing God's praises together. We have been, in the past couple of weeks, launched into a series called Race Matters, God's Heart for the Nations, and basically a study through the book of Ephesians. Today we're going to look at the second part of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. I'll go ahead and read that for us, and I've titled this morning's message, A New Life. Starting in verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. You must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This morning we want to be reminded, first of all, that the Holy Spirit empowers us to leave behind the old life, the life before Jesus became the love of our life, our Savior, our new King, our Lord. Secondly, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live the new life. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit empowers us to love other lives. I believe as we continue our journey in this series and as we make our way through the book of Ephesians, we're reminded that the greatest thing that we can do and become in the challenges of our society and culture that we find ourselves in is that the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, must be filled and empowered by the life and power of God's Holy Spirit as individuals and as a community in order that we could begin to fulfill our mission and our purpose in our community and in the world. And so here we have Paul's challenge to his beloved, diverse church in the city of Ephesus that so speaks as well to us here today. First of all, the Holy Spirit empowers us to leave the old life behind, and we find that in the passage we just read in verses 17 to 21. He says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. He's referring not to Gentile believers, but Gentiles before they came to become God's beloved people in Jesus. No longer live like that. In other words, Paul is saying, all of us at one point did not know who God was. We didn't know the preciousness of Jesus, not just as a religious figure or an inspirational teacher, but the greatest love of our life because he loved us first. And Paul reminds us, as you journey in your life, in your faith, your family, your communities, and in the church, don't go backwards. Don't go back to your old life. your old ways before you knew the Lord. Some of you say, well, I would never do that. That's behind me. Oh, really? Why would Paul write this to these beloved saints? The Holy Spirit empowers us to leave that life behind in the past. Don't go backwards. All of us are capable of doing that. And during this time of disconnection and struggle, so many have lost jobs, battling health in their lives with COVID-19, all the things that challenge us in our lives, our struggles in our families, relationships, marriages, it tears us apart. It is very easy to go backwards. Thus, in our theme, let's begin to regather. Let's reconnect. Let's live together the life that God has called us, because it is so easy to go backwards. The Prince of Preachers, that British Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, thought about this, especially in reading Psalms 1 and 2, and he says this, that I think we would be well informed. When men are living in sin, they go from bad to worse. At first, they merely walk in the counsel of the careless and ungodly who forget God, but after that, they become habituated to evil. They stand in the way of open sinners who willfully violate God's commands. Then they become tempters of others. All of us are capable of going backwards. And even as you listen, even as you are here in our sanctuary worshiping God, some of you very much know that you have gone backwards. And Paul reminds us that we need to be empowered by the Spirit to leave that old life behind. Don't forget, there is a downward vicious cycle of sin that we could never imagine being on at one point of our lives, but a few steps backwards can lead us down that spiral that can destroy. None of us wake up in the morning and say, I can't wait to sin like crazy today. No, I hope not. But slowly, gradually, we begin to take the wrong path in our lives. Our lives, especially our inner lives, are always progressing in one direction or the other. Don't fool yourselves in thinking that you're just being neutral or standing your ground when it comes to our relationship with God and others. Paul reminds us that either holiness, a love for the Lord and the kingdom of God, is either increasing or it's diminishing. It never just remains the same. That's the danger Paul warns us about in our lives. A personal commitment and a corporate commitment to together leave the old life apart from God behind is a daily commitment we must make, because all of us are susceptible to going backwards. Don't go backwards. Leave the old life behind. That's what Paul reminds us. That commitment to being filled with the Spirit of God and progressing forward as individuals, our marriages, our families, our community, our churches, is absolutely essential in order that we would be filled with the Spirit of the living God. That is what is needed to be able to not only maintain our unity, but to be a voice into our communities, in the tensions and the battles that are going on in our world around us. We need that anointing and power and filling of God's Spirit. And that comes when we leave the old life behind. And leaving old things behind is sometimes a hard habit to break. Remember not too long ago, getting ready in the morning to come to work here at church and seeing one of my beloved shirts that was probably like 20 or 30 years old in the garbage next to me. I said, what in the world? That's my favorite shirt. And Kathy, without my permission, rummaged through my closet and picked out the ugly old sweaters and pants and shirts that deserve to be dumped years and years ago, but us guys, we just have a habit of holding on to our old things and old clothes and old habits because they're worn and they're comfortable. And here I was looking left and right and going to the garbage and pulling out my old clothes and washing it and, my precious. How sad that is. I should have let some of those go, but it's so hard when I have so many nice new clothes I could wear, just waiting to be worn, and yet I keep on digging in the garbage can, getting the old stuff that Kathy dumped. We are creatures of habit. Things that are comfortable, things that should be dumped. If any of you have 40-year-old clothes, come on, it's about time. But I guess if you hold on to it long enough, it becomes vintage, and then you can eBay it and sell it for a lot of money. Who knows? But you get the point. Leave the old behind. Secondly, related to that is what Paul talks about in verses 22 to 24. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live the new life. He says in verse 22 to put off your old self, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self that has been created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This new created self is not Jesus. Jesus is not created. He enters into us, but he always existed. But it's the new life, our new lives, that have been redeemed, that are growing and changing every day. Put that new life on, Paul says. So a lot of us focus on leave the old behind. I'm not going to do this anymore and that anymore and watch this and engage in this. That's not good. That's not helpful. That's sinful. That's not productive. Leave it behind. But that's not enough. No, that's right. That's not enough. Exactly. You must live the new life intentionally, purposefully, with passion. Paul reminds us, in order to experience the empowerment of the Spirit and to fulfill our calling and destiny, our purpose as individuals and as the church, yes, don't go backwards, but move forwards. Put on your new life. Put it on. We're reminded that salvation is by grace alone. Grace alone, by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, apart from works, apart from anything. That's what we're blown away, that we could be children of God because of what Jesus did for us. A good sign that we have not lost the first love is that we are blown away every day. I can't believe I can pray and call God my Father. And he listens. He listens and he loves us. But the growth, this new life, this transformation process, this maturing that Paul is talking about, the sanctification, that word that a lot of us may be familiar with, is not a passive exercise. We are to deliberately, along with the cooperative efforts of the Holy Spirit in synergy, fight hard and run hard to put on this new self. Peter O'Brien, theologian and New Testament scholar, reminds us the rooting out of sin is only part of the picture. There must be an exchange in our lives with that which reflects God in our lives. We're not just talking about behavior modification or moral right living, but the life of Jesus so transforms our lives. We are to put that on daily. It's not enough to stop doing things that aren't helpful for us, but we are actively to embrace the new life. And that's what Paul is trying to remind us. We are not just passive spectators in our growth and transformation. We intentionally put on the new life as the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit empowers us to do so. That's why there's no such thing as just being neutral or passive, especially during this time of disconnection. We must be even doubly strengthened and intentional to keep on putting on this new life because of Jesus. Peter O'Brien reminds us the new behavior of our lives must be completely consistent with the kind of person you have already become. And in doing so, there is a power, there is a unity, there is a sense of purpose to our lives that continues to move us forward. That is what Paul is trying to remind this church that is struggling with division and hostility and people from all different colors and backgrounds. Don't go backwards. Put on the new life that Jesus has paid for with his very own. Continue to move forward. And what does this look like in a church community? I love Paul, the consummate theologian and missionary, but the intensely practical pastor and shepherd and counselor and guide. He lays it out. This is what it looks like when you leave the old behind, when you embrace the new. It not only is done in the privacy of your room, in your prayer closet, when you're driving the car, listening to things that edify you, strengthen you, encourage you, but it always translates into how our relationships with one another is impacted. What does that look like? He lays for us in this third point that the Holy Spirit empowers us to love other lives. In verses 25 to the end of the passage that we read, he gives us six concrete examples of what this really looks like when we leave the old behind, empowered by the Spirit, when we embrace the new. It's not just a solitary exercise of personal piety and devotion in your room, but it impacts how we relate to one another in the church and in the world. They all deal with relationships, how we treat and relate and communicate with one another. Each of these begins not just with the negative prohibition, don't do these things, stop these things, that old life, that's not you anymore. But it always then balances out with a positive command. Yes, command. Verse 25, put away falsehood. Yes, don't lie. We teach our children that from when they are young, little children. Don't lie. It's not good. That's not the right thing to do. But every culture has that. You can say that without Jesus. Be truthful. But then Paul reminds us, but speak truth out of this new reality you've experienced in Jesus. Stop lying, yes, but now begin to tell the truth. Followers of Christ need to be known for their honesty, their integrity, to be reliable, that their word can be trusted. Yes, stop doing those things, but now exhibit this new life and how you relate to one another. That is how the power of Jesus will be experienced here and how it will take us outside and abroad. Secondly, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Verse 26, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. We are in a battle between two kingdoms, whether we like it or not, of this world and the kingdom of God. And it's interesting that anger in particular, Paul isolates and singles out and reminds us of the spiritual realities, how we deal with when we are angry can impact the body of Christ tremendously. And when that anger comes, not all anger is evil. There is a holiness that causes anger when we have the zeal for the Lord and the things of God. But in the anger that can hurt and destroy, Paul says, don't let the sun go down. Take care of it right away. Because if you don't, it festers. It gives the devil a foothold. It's your anger in your heart, not the devil putting his anger in you. But take care of it, Paul says, right away, because we are in a spiritual war. This is real. And if we don't take care of that, relationally we will experience a brokenness and a disunity and a hostility that Jesus died for to get rid of It's going backwards. James 1, 19 and 20 reminds us everyone should be slow to anger. For anger, human anger, does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Don't let anger brood and grow because it gives the devil a foothold. Take care of it ASAP. Take care of it right away. This is how we know that we have really left the old and have embraced the new, empowered by God's Spirit. The devil will do anything and everything to his advantage when we are weak, when we're going backwards, when we're forgetting to put on this new life, to divide the church. Please don't be too quick to say the devil made me do it. Satan is not the source of anger. That points back to us. But he can use that to begin to undermine the work of God in our lives and divide the church. The thief, verse 28, should no longer steal. Okay, I stopped doing things that are dishonest, but that's not enough. Now begin to work and work hard and be productive and be generous and share with what you earn to bless others with anyone in need. Don't just stop stealing, but work hard and give and be generous. What does this look like? Paul continues on. This is intensely practical. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up others, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Don't use your mouth for evil, but for good. It's not enough to say, don't curse. Oh, don't say that. We teach our kids like that. Don't say those things. Don't say these words. But to allow a Holy Spirit-empowered life then be used to change our speech as a weapon, as a power, as a healing balm, to preach the love of Christ, to edify, to encourage, to lift up, to unite, not divide. Use your mouth not for evil, but for good. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you along with malice. Don't just stop being unkind, but actively embrace the love and kindness of Jesus and let it flow out of your life, your actions, and your words. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. It all goes back to the gospel. And so as we think about these things, we often pat ourselves on the back. Wow, well, I don't do those things. I'm better than those people. No, we're not. We're saved by grace. And remember, we'll put this up on the screen. Don't just take pride in when you stop doing bad things, unhelpful things, but do the right things in Jesus' name. Do the right things in Jesus' name. We often give ourselves so much credit. Well, I don't do those things. I'm not like those people. That's only half of the story. Yes, don't forget to leave that old life behind, but embrace the new life in Jesus Christ. Do the right thing in Jesus' name. And so as we reflect on Ephesians 4, this new life, be reminded it's not only about our isolated personal prayer and spiritual times with the Lord, which we desperately need, whether you do that in the morning beside your bed, or you have a secret prayer room, or you're doing it while you drive your car listening to whatever podcast, Bible app, worship music, praising God, that's great. But it boils down to what does that life then look like within the community with one another? As a redeemed people of Jesus, when we experience this new life and this transformation, and when we experience the kindness of God in and through one another, that brings a revival. It's not just a prayer time and God comes down. Yes, that's part of it. But when you experience the kindness and the love in words and actions from one another, even when we mess up and make mistakes, that is transformative. Then you experience the gospel tangibly. It brings renewal in your life, and the Holy Spirit comes down in a way that we haven't experienced before. We have that kind of power over one another to build up or destroy. And when we are able to follow the leading of God's Spirit, it changes everything. It brings down the boom. And that boom is the key by which the church remains unified, humble, and strong at the same time as we learn to embrace one another and as we are used by God as a reconciling force in the world that is so angry, so divided, so conflicted. They're looking for peace, but we know there is no true peace apart from the person of Jesus Christ. And so Paul reminds us, don't run backwards. Don't be satisfied with the cessation of things that you know aren't helpful for you, but actively embrace the new life that God has given to you. And we do that not just in the secrecy of our devotion times, but as we experience that love and reality in one another. That is how we are going to move forward. The world tells us the answer to the problems of race is don't be a hater, don't be a racist, don't be a divider. But that is not enough for the people of God. The people of God, of course, don't do those things. But then we actively follow this new life of Jesus Christ as we actively serve, love, and we are for other people because they are made in the image of God. It's not enough not to have, well, I don't hate others, but we actively embrace the love of Christ and love others within the church and without. These are some of the things that Paul reminds us of. As I was rummaging through my closet again on another occasion, I found my wife's beautiful wedding dress, all boxed up with dust all over, and it instantly transported me back to that ceremony where I think I looked okay, but Kathy was spectacular on that beautiful wedding day. And after all the festivities are over and the parties simmer down, and once it's all over, you take off the wedding clothes, the tuxedo, you get to relax, kind of be normal, and then you live your life as a married couple. But in the Christian life, when Jesus covers us with his glory and beauty, those wedding clothes never come off. They continue to shine brighter and brighter. And in light of that reality, we leave the old behind. We don't want to break the heart of Jesus. We move forward and put on our new lives because Jesus gave his beauty and glory to us as he allowed himself to be stripped of his beauty and glory and died for us on a Roman cross that we could be covered in glory, righteousness, and beauty. When we begin to understand that the gospel indeed is that power by which the church unites, we leave the old behind. We continue to live every day putting on our new selves, the life that Jesus has given to us, and we are empowered to love other lives here within the church first and then outside. That is how we can be used by God as a reconciling power and voice in a world that is so divided by hate, anger, and division. And so, if I were to go to your house right after service and look at your closet, especially gentlemen, what things in your closet do we need to throw away that's 10 years old, 20, or 30 years old? Get rid of it. Wear that new sweater finally. Wear that new clothes. What is it That's a great question to begin to think about. But secondly, how do we put on daily our new lives in Christ? What does that look like for you? Thirdly, what does this new life, why does it always lead to us loving others? And why do we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do any of this? As we continue to live in these truths and realities, I believe that it will so impact the church that we indeed will be able to see God's heart for the nations, both here, inside the church, and without. Let us pray. For anyone that is listening, as we've done in the first service, I'd like to just give an opportunity, invitation that you know you are living a kind of life that hurts because you are living apart from God. If you would like to enter into a new life because of Jesus, pray with me. Lord, I'm tired of my old life. I don't want to live in sin anymore. Jesus, come and be my Savior and Lord. Grant me that new life of beauty, of righteousness, of wholeness that I've been looking for every day of my life. I receive this new life of forgiveness and purpose by faith. Strengthen me to live a life that pleases you and truly serves and loves others. Lord, unite the church to be the people of God that every day are reminded not to go backwards, but to put on the new life that Jesus has created on every day, just as you have clothed us with your beautiful righteousness. And unlike in a human wedding ceremony where we take off the wedding gowns and look normal again, the heavenly clothes never come off. Your righteousness, your beauty continues to shine brighter and brighter into the day of glory. Help us to live into that identity. Help us to find the power as we learn to love all lives. And unite us in such a way, Father, that the church can be used by you to be your reconciling voice in a very divided and hostile world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.